In order to purify metal, it must go through the fire. To test the true leadership skills of an individual, they must too go through the fiery tests of life. Leadership Principles is once again our topic today on Chapter and Verse. Now listen to this thought from Mike McIntosh.
If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So we would be like this trail list, you know, maybe one, isn't that sweet? And that was sweet, let's walk hand in hand. And the rest of them are just complaining and griping, and they're missing the beauty of the wilderness. Don't miss the beauty of walking in the Spirit with the Lord by putting your Bible down for one day.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing.
Pride was the original sin of Satan, so it follows that he would oppose humility at every opportunity. Today on CNV, our studies take us to the 28th and 29th chapters of Proverbs, where we find important insight concerning God's leadership principles. Being a prideful person or someone who constantly complains usually means that they will not make a good leader. The best examples of good leadership skills were usually always possessed by those who had the heart of a servant. Leadership Principles is the title of the message that we began on last week's broadcast and will conclude today. If you're willing, God wants to change you and give you the leadership skills you need, whether it's running your household or a 2,000-employee shop. It takes leadership. Miraculous transformations are part of God's plan for our lives, but they come on His timetable, not ours. Now let's turn to our text in Proverbs and listen to Pastor Mike as he begins our study today on Chapter and Verse.
Relationships or family, you're going to get a reward back. But if you're just a person that is just roaming around and just doing whatever you want to do, and you're following vanity and egotistical people, and you have spiritual poverty, and that's just really too much. And verse 20, he says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. So another parallel. And he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished, because it's going to be a person that's probably going to compromise. And so he won't go unpunished if it's a person that's cutting corners. Verse 21, to show partiality is not good at all, because for a piece of bread a man will transgress. Otherwise, a little bribe, people will do anything for a bribe. And so you don't want to show partiality, because you'll get a weak person that's a marshmallow that has no strength from facing their troubles and their hardship and trusting God. That if you can get them to do something, they're not doing it out of a good heart. They're just a pushover anyhow. So you want to check the depth of character of the people that you're associating with. And these are what he's doing in these verses here. Verse 22, a man with an evil eye hastens after riches. So if he's looking at bad stuff and his eye is bad towards people, he only sees people as a way to make money and to use people instead of love people and lift people up and show people a much higher road to walk. So the evil eye just wants to crush you and me. It doesn't want to help us, doesn't want to encourage us, doesn't want to lift our burden, doesn't want to give us more liberty, wants to oppress us, and does not consider that poverty will come upon him, because the evil eye and the proud person just says, no, I'm going to go on and be blessed forever. Verse 4. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it's no transgression, it's my parents, I could steal this jewelry, or I could take that out of his wallet. This same person in attitude is the companion of a destroyer. Verse 25. He that is of a proud heart, look at this one, stirs up strife. Is there strife in your apartment, in your home, your family, relationships? Well, the other person has a proud heart. Or maybe it's your own proud heart that is stirring up the strife. But look at the other side, the parallel. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Well, I know you don't want to be fat, but it means you're going to be blessed. So strife means you're not getting what you want, and you're trying to get something you don't have. And so you stir up strife so that you can get people off balance, and you can be in charge of whatever it is. But if you just put your trust in the Lord, there is no strife, and you say, okay, Lord, you know where I am at. This caught my attention. It was Yahoo News. And the headline said, "Hotel criticized for charging for water. So that sounded a little interesting. Here it is. This is from the news. A British hotel operator who wrote to a client explaining why she could not have a free glass of water has been showered with bad publicity in connection with the incident. Get your pen ready because you're going to write down a verse that shows you that wisdom covers all the stupidity and strife that anybody could ever drop on you, basically. So you want to know this verse. Shelley Burchell was a guest at the Atlantic Hotel in Southwest England. She wrote a letter to managing director Anthony Cobley because she was refused a glass of tap water to drink with her $32 meal. She says instead of giving her a glass of water, the staff insisted she buy a small bottle of water for $1.40 or a large bottle for $3.60. Cobley wrote a curt reply, and he said in his letter to Miss Burchell, quote, "I buy water from the Southwest Water Company. I buy the glasses that the water is served in. I buy the ice that goes into the water. I buy the labor to serve the water. I provide the luxury surroundings, labor, and washing materials for the glass after you've used it. And you think that I should provide all this free of charge?" In closing, Cobley wrote, "As regards to your comment that you will not be returning to the Atlantic Hotel ever again, leaves me to say that customers that only drink water and complain about paying for it, I can certainly do without." So, the deputy chief executive of the British Hospitality Association says Cobley was wrong. He says, looking after customers and making them feel happy is a major part of hospitality. Debbie Smith, the head of marketing at the Cornwall Tourist Board, added, "This is certainly not an approach to customer care that I would advocate." Turn in the Old Testament a few books forward to the book of Isaiah. And see if you can apply this somewhere in your life. Isaiah chapter 55, right after the Proverbs. And look at this. 55th chapter, the first verse. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Amazing, huh? "Why do you spend your money for what is not bread and your wages for things that don't satisfy you? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness or in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." Isn't that amazing? Here's this lady in strife over a glass of water. And the Lord says, "All of you, come to me and drink. Even those of you who don't have any money, come and eat and fill your soul and delight yourself in fatness. The things of the Lord," he says, "why are you wasting your money with things that never satisfy you when I just keep saying, come, come, come. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters." Verse 26, Proverbs 28. That guy should have known his Bible. He could have sent that back, or she could have sent it to him and said, "Look, I could go over here for free. Go to the Lord for free. What he has for you is free." Verse 26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses upon him." So you always want to concern yourself with the poor. "When the wicked arise," here's a follow-up, "men hide themselves," another leadership principle, "but when they perish, the righteous begin to increase." Chapter 29. By the way, verse 16 is a leadership principle. And verse 1 of chapter 20, "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck, stiffens his neck." The person that God is always talking to is trying to get your attention. How important it is for us to listen to him. "He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So it's a friend, like we prayed Sunday night, for family. And at the table I was sitting at in the auditorium, is sweet to hear all these people praying for their relatives. And there are people who keep stiffening their neck and it gets harder. And those muscles get hard. And then the arteries get hard. And the arteries around their heart gets hard. And the blood flow slows down. And then they have a muscle spasm. The heart seizes. Boom. If you have people that keep rejecting and rejecting the good news of Jesus Christ, you need to really start praying for him more and more, because it comes suddenly and there's no turning around. So that's a person that I've heard it before. He who is often rebuked and stiffens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Leadership principle. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. And you can feel the pressure. Leadership principle. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but the companion of harlots wastes his wealth. The king establishes the land by justice. Leadership principle. But he who receives bribes overthrows it. Bad leadership principle. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. So when people flatter you, watch out. You're looking up here and say, oh, thank you for those kind words, but they've dropped the net at your feet and you don't see it. So when you start to walk, you trip. It's always, hey, pat him on the back and tell him, oh, flattery. By transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not even understand such knowledge. They couldn't imagine giving any money to some poor people or a project for the poor. But the righteous considers the cause. So he's thinking, contemplating. Scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. Leadership principle. Mockers and scoffers make a city burn and fall apart. Wise men turn this away. Verse 9, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there's no peace. Wise man laughs, cries. A fool, even if he laughs or cries, he doesn't learn the lesson. The wicked does not understand such knowledge. So there is this ultra-rich New York lawyer comes to a humble Midwest town, and he goes out duck hunting. And as he's got his shotgun, he shoots, and a duck falls out of the air, and it falls into this farmer's field. So the guy goes so proudly over, he's going to get his duck. And as he's climbing the fence, the old codger that owned the farm is on his John Deere tractor, and he's pulling up, and he stops. He's in his 80s and says, hey, son, just a minute. What are you doing? I just shot a duck, and I'm going to come over there and get out of my property. You're not. Oh, yes, I am. No, you're not. You're not coming in here. This is my property. You're not coming in here and getting that duck. And the proud guy says, you have no idea who I am, old man. I'm the number one litigator in the state of New York, and I'm going to sue you for everything you own, and I'm going to get this farm, and I'm going to go get that duck. And he says, no, you're not. You must not be around from these parts, because you don't know about the three-kick settlement. Three-kick settlement, what are you talking about? Well, that's where we settle our differences here. We each take turns. We kick each other three times. Then the next guy kicks, and then that guy kicks. And whoever's left standing wins the argument and the dispute. That's how we settle it here. The lawyer thought for a minute. Well, you know, I'm wanting to buy property in the area, and if I want to be liked by people, I should do the things the way they do it. So, yeah, and not only that, I'm bigger and I'm stronger and tougher, and this old guy, I'll knock him down the first time. He gets off, you know, the fence and stands, and the old guy walks up to him, 85 years old or so, and says, okay, I start. Well, he had steel-toed boots on. And he kicked this smart-aleck lawyer right in the shins. Oh! And he went to the ground. Second kick, right in the groin. Oh, man, he's about ruined. Third kick, right in the chin, and it flips the guy over, and he lands right into a pile of manure mess there, cow mess. And the lawyer is so upset and so mad, and he's getting up and wiping his sleeve across his face, trying to get all this off of him, and he looks at him and says, okay, old man, now it's my turn. And the old man says, nah, never mind, I quit, you win, you can have the duck. The righteous consider the cause of the poor, and the wicked doesn't even know how to regard anything about anybody else. Pride ruins you. Verse 8, scoffers set a city aflame. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool gets angry or laughing, he never has any peace. The bloodthirsty hate the blameless, but the upright person seeks his well-being. A fool vents all of his spirit or all of his feelings, But a wise man holds them back in control, self-control. Leadership principle, verse 12. If a ruler pays attention to lies, then all of his servants become wicked. So you're the boss, you're the CEO, you're whatever, and you listen to lies of people, and you act on lies, and you do things that are wrong, then the people around you get corrupted. You're going to have problems. The poor man and the oppressor have this one thing in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both of them. So don't ever think anybody's better than you because they have riches and you don't, or anything, education and you don't. That's a leadership principle that you need to underline. If a ruler pays attention to lies, that's one right there, all of his servants become wicked. The poor man and the rich guy, the oppressor, they all have the same thing in common. God gives them light. Harry Truman, when he was president of the United States, said about leadership principles, when a leader takes on lies, or, you know, now it's polls. They do everything by polls. Well, what do the polls say? And you see these people get up and they're trying to convince us. They're so stiff because they're trying to be politically correct. We don't see leadership. We see people that are trying to please polls. President Harry Truman said, how far would Moses have gone if he had taken a poll in Egypt? What would Jesus Christ have preached if he had taken a poll in the land of Israel when he was walking through the country? He wouldn't have given his messages. What could have happened to the Reformation if Martin Luther had taken a poll? It isn't polls or public opinion, Harry Truman said, of the moment that counts at all. It is right and wrong leadership. That's what it takes. So some people end up being liars because the poll says you got to change your direction of where you're going. Verse 13, the poor man, the oppressor have the same thing come. Verse 14, the king who judges the poor with truth, his throne, leadership principle, will be established forever. Authority does not make you a leader. It just gives you the opportunity to be one. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself, if you don't discipline him, brings shame to his mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases in a city, but the righteous will end up seeing their fall. Correct your son, verse 15 and 17 actually tie together, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul. When there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. Now in the New King James, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And you need projected vision so you know where you are headed. A servant will not be corrected by mere words. For though he understands, he's not just going to respond. You've got to really to say to a servant, this is how it is. It's not just the words. Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than this man. He who pampers his servant from childhood will have him as a son in the end. So don't get too friendly with your gardener or the people that come and clean your house, because you get too friendly and you're not the boss and they're the employee. You end up giving them Christmas presents and birthday presents. All of a sudden, they're part of your household and they're like one of your own children, is what he's saying. And here's a guy that's got 1,000 wives. So he knows. They'd all bring their laundry people over. And whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. So get away from crooked people. He swears to tell the truth, but he actually reveals nothing. A man's pride will bring him low, verse 23, but the humble in spirit, they're going to retain honor. That, you could write, self-control. The man's pride will destroy him, but the humble in spirit is going to save him, self-control. Whoever is a partner with the thief hates his own life. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Trust the Lord in these rough times. You're going to do all right. God's going to bless you. This is not only a test for the world and for our country. It's a test for each one of us as individuals. And this is only an arena we're in. We're going to be gone from here any day. And it's how you respond to all these conflicts and all the suffering you go through that's going to make you the person that can handle hardship, be rooted and grounded in the knowledge of God. And you're not going to be a pushover, and you're not going to be a marshmallow, and you're not going to whine and scream and kick your heels. And then finally, verse 26, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. Leadership principle. It's also a prayer principle. And it's the trust the Lord principle that we all have to learn in our lives. We started out Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all of your ways and He will direct your paths. So our country's economy's crashing in. We're at war. We have a million people coming illegally across our border. We got so many problems right now. Yes. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Lord, I'm looking for this. Or Lord, I'm hoping for this. Just keep talking to Him and He will direct your paths. Trust, 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 trust. Trust the Lord. And count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations and testings, for it's the Lord. He's developing perseverance in you so that you won't be a marshmallow and you won't be a pushover and you won't be a softy when somebody comes and pokes you, and you won't give up. You will be strong, because we must enter the kingdom through much suffering. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. So, for you and I to gather in the name of Jesus Christ and to study words of wisdom is an abomination to the wicked people. The enemy, the wicked, the evil, hate the servant attitude. They hate the love and the care. They hate it that you can be successful as a corporate group and sit together in a hot, non-air-conditioned, 50-year-old school district auditorium. So I want to encourage you. Let these proverbs get deeply etched into the soul and into your heart. And you realize you have the strength of God that will get you to where you need to go, because you're acknowledging Him in all your ways. He will direct your paths. You don't have to figure out the path, nor have the Bureau of Land Management put reflectors every 50 feet when it gets dark so you can come out with your flashlight. And you don't need escalators to go up the mountains or elevators to see the great views. Part of enjoying the great view of life, ladies and gentlemen, is the struggle to get there to see it. That you accomplished it, and all the way up in the back of your mind, you know that it's downhill and it'll be easy coming back. And then when you get there and get the reward, it's wonderful. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that you would just pour out your blessings. Your blessings of wisdom that come with the fear of the Lord. Lord, may you show them your mighty hand that would strike fear in them, that you are so big and powerful. Father, I pray that you would pour out onto this audience understanding. For as Solomon has taught us, that it's the understanding that we get from the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. And Lord, I pray you'd pour out knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge unto this audience and to the multitudes on the internet. And on the CDs and on the radio stations. I'd like to just pray for our country, Lord. Wisdom would somehow flood leadership. And if they're so hard-hearted that they can't get it, raise us up new leadership, Lord. They'll have tender hearts that can see wisdom, receive understanding, and exercise authority by knowledge. Father, we give our lives to you. And we pray that you would use us for your honor and your glory. And you'd give us backbone and fortitude. You'd give us persistence and perseverance. You'd make us strong to stand in the day of temptation and resist all evil. Lord, for we have, as the Hebrews have said, we have not yet resisted sin against ourselves of pouring out blood from our bodies as Jesus did on the cross. So help us to be strong. And to hope, and to think good thoughts, and to realize we are going to make it through whatever comes our way, and we're going to be standing in heaven, and this will all be over. So in the meantime, we are to turn around and give a hand to other people that don't have that faith, and to encourage them. Use us to lock arm in arm, and to be a brighter light in San Diego for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' most precious name, amen.
Man has written volumes on leadership skills, but if you truly want to learn valuable lessons that will change you for a lifetime, one of the greatest places we can learn good leadership principles is from studying God's Word. Learning proper leadership skills has been our theme for the past two CNV broadcasts. Proverbs chapter 28 and 29 was our text for this important look at principles that will teach us to become the leaders God wants us to be. Just being a light for Jesus Christ in your home, school, or workplace may be the area God wants you to use the leadership skills He's given you. Again, if you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMacintosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMacintosh.com and look under Know God. Chapter and Verse is a listener-supported ministry, so if the Lord places on your heart to help fund this program on your station, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Well, I want to thank you for being with us today and hope that you'll tune in again next time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.